Good morning once again. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. And we're going to pick up on the latter phrase of that verse. "And by his stripes we are healed." Let us read the entire 53rd chapter in the book of Isaiah together. This is one of the two great Old Testament chapters which speak of the work of Christ in his first advent or his first coming, the other being Psalm 22, which gets into considerable detail with regard to the events of the crucifixion of Christ 1,000 years before they happened. This 53rd chapter of Isaiah was penned well over 700 years before these events came to pass. "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." The transgressors, those are the sinners. That's you and I. We're all in the same boat. The context, then, of our scripture is the work of the sin-bearing servant. Our text speaks of spiritual healing from sin. It is not a guarantee of physical healing, as some incorrectly apply it. If it were, then the Christian would never die. And so, not only is that bad hermeneutics, a bad understanding of the scripture, but nature itself proves that doctrine to be false. We find our text quoted in the New Testament, in the first epistle of Peter, and when the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament, it's always a good idea to go and read the New Testament application of the Old Testament Scripture, as the New Testament will give us a fuller picture, especially in relation to prophecy, of the meaning of these things. Speaking of Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So if there's any question of the meaning of Isaiah chapter 53, and that the reference there is to a spiritual healing from sin, Peter puts any confusion to rest in the New Testament. In the sermon proper this morning, we're going to take a look at three things. First, Christ's work made spiritual healing possible. So we're going to look at the past aspect, the fact that Christ's finished work has made spiritual healing possible. Secondly, Christ's work makes spiritual healing possible. And I'll explain to you what I mean by that when we get to our second point. And third, we're simply going to go through a glorious benediction of sorts in marveling at the power of Christ's blood in the permanence of God's salvation. That indeed it is true that by his stripes we are healed. Christ's work made spiritual healing possible. Sin is treated in Scripture as a disease. Now, I would submit to you that there are two kinds of diseases. Skin disease, that which afflicts the body, and sin disease, that which afflicts the soul and the spirit. The sin disease, that which afflicts the soul and spirit, is the greater. If left without remedy, body, soul, and spirit will be hopelessly lost in the end. But there's good news, friends. There's good news. We are not left without a physician. If we have a skin disease, that which afflicts the body, we would not hesitate long in calling an earthly physician to assist us in our case. Even more so, having the sin disease, which is universal, we ought to be quick to call the great physician, he who can heal not only diseases of the body, but he who heals diseases of the soul and the spirit, and who does so perfectly, completely, and once and for all, when the man or woman comes to the throne of God with a heart of true repentance and in a spirit of humility, trusting that when Jesus came down, that he came down and he paid the penalty for these things, and that through him, forgiveness of sin has been made available. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. There is no sin that is beyond the ability of Jesus Christ to forgive. The blood of Christ is sufficient to pay for all sins of every man or woman who's ever walked this planet. You who do not know God as your personal loving Savior, have you come here this morning? Or are you listening to this message via some media, searching and wondering, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Yes, I tell you. And Jesus Christ has come, and He came for you, for He has said so Himself. What did He say of Himself with regard to His mission here on earth? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me. And that's what that term Messiah or Christ means, the Anointed One. Anointed Him to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That is, those whose hearts have been broken by the effects of sin. To proclaim liberty to the captives. That is, those who have been held captive under the power of sin. This is what Jesus meant when He said, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. And recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who are worn down and burdened by cares and anxieties of this world. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Will you not agree that there is sin in you? And that truth be told, that you would be ashamed if Jesus were to walk into this room right now. Imagine if the Lord walked right through that door as we were speaking. How would you feel? How would you feel having all of the thoughts and intents of your heart being made bare through the One who searches all things? But we can kind of imagine that in our mind's eye. But when we really think about it, we come to consider and to know that Jesus, being omnipresent God, is already in this room, searching the hearts of His people, seeking to minister to those who have come here for the purpose of offering acceptable worship to their God. Did He suffer such things as we have spoken of this morning in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah for nothing? No, not for nothing. He suffered such things for you and for I. He did not suffer such things for nothing. And you are not nothing. You are the object, the special object of God's affection. You are made in the image of God, albeit a marred image, tainted by sin. But the Lord's affections have been set on you, all of those in my hearing this morning, such that He has placed you in a position where you might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in all of its fullness. Will you have Jesus as a friend or a foe? He wishes you will have Him as a friend. How can I say that with such confidence? Well, the Scripture says it, that God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, he didn't wait for us to be perfect. He'd have been waiting a long time. He'd still be waiting. Amen. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Right in those three glorious verses, we have the fullness of the gospel preached. By the way, if you're not familiar with the protocol here, in your bulletins, there is a little write-up about the sermon. There's a section under the write-up which has which says related scriptures, and those are all of the scriptures that have been quoted this morning. So you'll be able to go home and look these things up to see whether they be so. I encourage you all to be students of the Word, not hearers only, but to investigate the truth of everything that you hear. By his stripes we are healed. The promise is certain, but it is only for those who have put their faith in Christ alone. Second point this morning, Christ's work makes spiritual healing possible. Now going back to Isaiah chapter 53, we always want to make sure that we're careful to look at a scripture in its context. Right before our text, we read, "The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." So let us consider what this means for Christians in the present tense. The spiritual healing that Christ accomplished on our behalf results in peace and reconciliation with God. The veil of the temple was torn in two, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. God tore it. God made the way. God cleared the way of approach to him. Through the work of Christ, we might come to the Father. The path to communion with God is often littered with junk. Not that we put there, but that God put there. Now picture yourself, and no, I'm not going to sing the Beatles song. Picture yourself in, not in a boat, in a river. I just had that flowing through my head, right? The old man, right? We go back every so often. Picture yourself in that place, and you're in the temple, and the veil of the temple is torn from top to bottom. And now you're able to go in and approach towards the Holy of Holies. But I would suppose that if I were in this place, or any of us were in this place, that there would be a whole bunch of junk on the ground, obstacles that we'd have to jump over, climb over. We'd have to go, you know, get our ladder, some power tools maybe to drill out all of the stuff that's in the way. This is the stuff that we put there. God didn't put that stuff there. We put that stuff there. Our sins of omission, the things we ought to have done, the justice, the mercy that we ought to have shown and didn't, the sins of commission, the anger, the bitterness, the envy, the wrath, the malice, the gossip, the slander, all of this stuff in the way. But again, by his stripes, we are healed, and we make spiritual application to our case with regard to communion with Christ. We are healed, and the results continue as we are being sanctified, as we are being made more and more like Christ as we go through our Christian journey. Praying to God through Jesus Christ brings healing and restoration. Now that we are at peace with Him, having taken our chastisement or the discipline for our sin. So say with David, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Knowing that, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just. To do what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so invite the Lord into your heart and into that situation we are dealing with. Ask Him to take all of those obstacles off the ground as we approach the Holy of Holies. Invite the Lord into your heart and into your situation today. And try Him in this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And so let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Finally, let us marvel at the power of Christ's blood and the permanence of God's salvation. We've looked at the work that has done in times past and the work that was wrought in our hearts, if we be believers here this morning. We also look at the present work. We took a look at the present work that God is doing. But the Lord doesn't stop there. When the Lord does a thing, He does it perfectly. When the Lord starts a thing, He finishes a thing. The blood of Christ is called precious, and it is infinitely so. All the money in the world cannot buy the redemption of even one soul. Yet the blood of Christ is sufficient to buy the redemption of the souls of as many as will come to Him. By His stripes we are healed. Not by His stripes we were healed. The text doesn't say that. Neither does the text say, by His stripes we will be healed. Otherwise we'd have no certainty. But the scripture says, by His stripes we are healed. What God has finished, man cannot unfinish. He who has been sealed by God the Holy Spirit, no man can unseal. If your salvation was accomplished by Christ, who then can do a greater work of evil so strong that the power and blood of Christ might be made ineffectual? That's a rhetorical question. No man. Have you put your faith in Jesus? If so, then by His stripes you are healed already in the sight of God. Your place in heaven is secure. You cannot lose it. You can mess up really, 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 really bad. But you can't undo what God has done. You can lose your communion with Christ. But what God has done has not only made the salvation of your soul possible, it has given you an avenue to be restored. When you mess up, this is the beauty of the communion table. This is why it is our custom, as was the custom of the early church. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, to break bread, to celebrate the Lord's table on a weekly basis. The Lord has provided for this. Friend, Are you still without this assurance? If so, come to the foot of the cross and behold the bleeding Savior. And if that's too much for you, come to the empty cross and behold the fact that He is risen and that He's not there. By His stripes you are healed. That's God's promise to you. But first, you must come. Let us offer up a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, for the encouragement that we find therein. Thank you for your conviction. Thank you for your discipline that you love us enough to bring us back to the right road when we're astray in our hearts. Lord God, if there be any in my hearing this morning who have heard these things and have been cut to the heart, maybe you're still a little confused as to what they must do, we, those who are here this morning, who are believers, pray with one accord as the one who is earnestly seeking you right now prays after this manner. Lord God, I've sinned, I've fallen short, I've messed up, and I've been stubborn for too long. I've been afraid of being accountable to a God in heaven. But I'm ready now to take that step. Don't understand everything there is about this Jesus, but I know this, that I've come to believe that He didn't die for nothing, but that He died for me. That He rose again and that He's up in heaven, making a place for all of His people. And Lord God, I want to be one of those people. I resolve this day to change my ways. Lord, accept me through your Son Jesus this morning. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Having prayed such a prayer for the first time, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed, but tell somebody that we might rejoice with you. Let's now offer one another the sign of peace.